Oh, look who just walked into the studio here. Are you guys hot enough yet?
Not yet.
It's starting. You can start to feel it's getting steamy.
Yeah.
Steamy already.
Should we use these mics here?
You can use whichever mics or headphones you want, I think. Actually, this
I guess the hay fever index is high today, too.
Humidity, hay fever, and do we have a third H? I can't think of a third H.
Headness. Heady something.
Happiness.
Yeah, there you go.
No, really, let's be positive.
Hay fever and happiness.
Happiness, there we go.
Those two are not often associated.
We are the Catskills.
And
we're very happy.
And we're now joined by Damian Katera and Patricia Kaczynski.
Very good.
I got it? The first try?
No. You really did.
Wow. And you're the new artist in residence here as of yesterday, and you'll be here for another week or so, and on the radio at midnight a lot, right?
Yeah, three nights at midnight. And we're very excited to be working on our piece here. Definitely.
Three nights at midnight and one morning at 11 o'clock.
That's right.
Next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Next Saturday. And Damian, you're an old hand around this area, I guess?
I'm an old hand.
People may recognize your voice from the 80s or the 90s.
Well, definitely an old hand, both in terms of upstate New York music with my old group, Condemic, which used to operate out of Troy. But I've been out of upstate for a number of years now. But someday I will return upstate, I think, because I do love it up here. Mm-hmm. I really do, especially the Catskills. It's really great.
Well, you come up fairly often, right?
I would say so.
Checking out the restaurants, skiing on the slopes.
I'm a big fan of a ski place in Western Catskills called Plattekill Mountain, and it's the place that the New Yorkers don't go to. So I go there all the time. It's more of an upstate. More of an upstate crowd, so we hear people with my weird accent there, and I really enjoy that.
Ah.
Not to mention, it's just beautiful there. Not crowded, and a lot of fun.
So what do you guys have planned for this week? What are you radioing into or tuning into?
A lot of recording is what we'll be doing this week. But we're doing a four-night radio piece. Based on a poem that Trish wrote with our dear friend Gerald Schwartz. So we will be performing different parts of the poem, which also has sort of a theatrical element and
There's music and a
music element and some other surprises. We're working with a lot of environmental sounds that we are recording here. We're also going to work with some live transmitted sounds, both off of radio frequencies as well as, I think we're hearing something right now.
I think that is, we have a mic in the woods and the two mics in the pond going right now.
Yeah.
Plus, I think there's a little William Baczynski somewhere in there.
It's creating the illusion that we're actually hanging out outside.
Oh, don't tell him. We are hanging out outside.
Of course, we are outside, yes. These windscreens are great.
Yes, we have the best windscreens.
But the piece is basically about the life that you live in an evening, like from dusk until dawn, and sort of like how difficult it is to sleep and what happens as a result of that to your brain, and sort of explores all of those thought processes and the fears and the weird stuff that comes up and the memories and the music.
So you're going to help people get to sleep, or you're going to help people stay awake? I'm not sure.
Probably.
We do encourage people to, because we do have friends that told us, well, I can't stay up to listen. Obviously, it's going to be archived, so they can listen anytime they want. But we do like the idea of people listening when they're trying to fall asleep. Definitely.
We oftentimes tune into George Norton.
Yeah, well, that is part of our experience in creating this piece, is our own love for late night radio.
Late night AM radio in particular,
Yes, AM radio. Shows like Coast to Coast AM, which has been a favorite of mine for years. Whenever we travel, we like to have AM radio on. Part of this piece, we actually did almost like a pre-residency, and about a month ago, we were out in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan on the Stonington Peninsula and set up shop up there, did some recording, and also did some editing of the text component of this piece, and it was fantastic.
Is that like a weird bird?
That eerie, eerie is the we need to find out what kind of bird that is. We've had a couple different field recording groups in the past month or so, and almost everybody is focused in on that bird as the one sound, the chorus of the project, or the. There it is. It's just going over and over again. It's a eerie, eerie. Does anybody know what that bird? Maybe somebody can call in and tell us what that bird is.
If only my dear Rutgers colleague Tony Masso was listening, he would know, because he's an avid bird watcher and bird enthusiast.
I guess I can call it the Cornell. Cornell College has that.
There you go. Cooperative Extension.
They have a giant repository of bird sounds. Cornell Ornithology Bird Songs. Where is that? No. Here it is. Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Can I play it a sound and it'll tell me what it is? Or do I have to go through all the birds to listen?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
They should have a Shazam for bird sounds, don't you think?
Yes.
I thought that's what I got. There's an app here. Exactly. Shazam for all animal sounds. It doesn't have to be birds, right?
Of course. When I say they should have, it's
I think they're coming up
really
with an app
my own ignorance.
A picture of a plant, and then it tells you what the plant is.
Yeah, I've got this.
I await that.
And then if you can eat it or not.
Yes, exactly.
And then it sends the picture to your Facebook list about show people what you're about to eat.
Exactly.
Oh, great. Because you could never have enough food photos on social media, let me tell you.
Exactly.
That's really what I love about social media the most.
So I do have this. It's Birdsong ID. I haven't got it to work yet, but it's called Birdsong ID, and it has a record button. So I guess apparently I'm supposed to record the bird, and then it's going to theoretically tell me what it is. So we'll go out later and record that bird. But are you recording birds? Or what kind of sound? Are they animal sounds? Or
I think...
Wind?
We don't really have a specific agenda. We're just here to incorporate the space as an element in the piece. So whatever is out there.
There's so much going on out there.
There was quite a symphony last night.
So what did you hear last night?
Good Lord. Probably crickets, cicadas, things like that.
But they're very rhythmic, like so there was frogs. A whole like counter-tempo thing going on. So that was very interesting and fun to listen to. We saw bats.
Yep.
They don't make any noise that we can hear, which is unfortunate.
Dogs, screaming children. Last night at 2 a.m., well, it was actually this morning at 2 a.m., we heard singing coming from the woods.
Yeah, we think it's a cult in the woods.
Do you know of some singing that might be going on around here?
Well, the radios are on. I turned them all down last night when I left, so they should have been fairly quiet so that only, like, basically the bugs nearby could have heard. But maybe there was some sort of wafting from the radios.
It sounded like campfire kind of singing.
Although I think Sonic Youth was playing at 2 a.m. last
there
night.
Was,
so it was, I heard
quite a bit.
Sonic
yeah,
Youth
no, there was quite a bit of Sonic Youth, and that was great.
It was great.
And I actually, in the process of hearing those that singing, I thought, oh, maybe it is coming from the speakers, but it was not. It was maybe
Sonic Youth was on, and that was not children's singing around a campfire. So maybe there was a campfire somewhere last night.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. And just now, because we have our trusty solar lanterns with us that we love to use, I just went out there to position them to be charged today, and I heard singing again. So I think there's some camp or something. People singing. Or maybe it's in my head. I don't know.
We'll look for smoke signals today.
And perhaps remnants of some sort of ritual. I don't know. That we wouldn't expect that up here in the Catskills. Catskills always has an interesting soundscape. We were up here last fall, down in Big Indian, and we were hearing wild dogs all night. Really beautiful, too. Sort of like a call and response of wild dogs. Could hear a little bit of that last night, too.
Yeah, sometimes there's a dog on the corner down there about less than a quarter mile away that barks at night. But not too often. I haven't heard it lately.
We heard howling.
Yep.
So maybe the coyotes.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the mountain sometimes. I haven't seen any coyotes or evidence of coyotes down here. But I don't know. I'm not the animal expert. So they could be here.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, those kind of dogs come into suburban and urban areas now, too. Actually, when we were leaving New Jersey yesterday, we were in Fort Lee, which is where the George Washington Bridge connects into New Jersey. In a pretty urban area, and we just saw this deer walking down the sidewalk. And we felt like it was in the wrong place, definitely. But then we saw some very, very big deer up here last night, too. Like at least one male buck that was pretty sizable.
And you didn't get a recording or an interview or anything?
Bounding through the brush.
We were out recording, and they looked at us. They were almost intimidating looking deer. They sort of glared at us, and we were like, "Whoa, they don't look very friendly." And then they ran away. So they feared us. They thought we were Ted Nugent or something, probably. <you know>. That's probably how deer actually see humans. Is we're all
Ted
Nugent to them.
And why did you get involved or interested in natural sounds, recording natural sounds in the environment, and then you're transforming them too, I guess, right? You're throwing them into Max MSP or
yeah, we'll do some of that when we have the live component of the mix. We'll be using wireless transmitting mics that we'll put out in the various parts of the property for a live component. And yeah, I'll be processing those, sending them into Max MSP and doing cutting them up and layering them over one another in real time, sort of randomly mixing them up. But as far as how I got interested in that, it just goes back to my own childhood in central New York. Grew up in Utica, which everyone knows is sort of a post-industrial kind of city, and I still love Utica very much.
Okay, what is the Simpsons Utica joke? Isn't there a Simpsons Utica joke?
I think there was a mention of Utica on The Simpsons at one time, but I can't remember what it was. But we moved into this area that had a lot of woods. And I spent a lot of time in those woods as a kid in the 70s and just got very used to listening to the woods. I mean, the properties and parcels of land that I would wander around in when I was like 8-10 years old had tons of birds in them. I mean, and you would just hear these melodic bird sounds textured over each other, birds communicating with each other. So the natural soundscape just became part of me in a strange way. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that that's the sole focus of my work, but it's been an important element for a while, or at least an element, I should say.
And Patricia, when did you get interested in keeping people awake? Or,
having struggled at certain points in life with insomnia, it's just a fascinating subject to me. I sort of feel like you get very stripped down in those moments. You get a lot of writing done in those moments. A lot of things come into your brain. I just am fascinated with that whole thing. And
it seems like it's tied to radio in some ways, too. It's like one of the ways that either you
It's definitely a companion.
Yeah.
When you're doing that. So, I mean, I think it serves a very wonderful and beautiful purpose.
It seems natural for telling a story of that sort.
Yes.
In that way.
Yes. I totally think that's true. Yes.
And we do use it both ways. Yeah. You know, to go to bed and to wake up. Absolutely. Yep. And when we were out in Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula, we became really connected with the local AM station out there, whose call letters I can't remember. WDBC, maybe? BDC?
I don't know. Escanaba's finest radio station, Escanaba.
From Escanaba, Michigan. And it's all 70s easy listening AM stuff. So for people of a certain age, it's kind of fun and joyful. But they also have some interesting functions that throw back to radio when I was a kid. Number one, they read obituaries on the station. Number two, they lead people in prayer at different points of the day, like the Holy Rosary. So that station, boy, that's almost in a time warp, because those are things I remember from radio being very young. There'd be like some sort of like Holy Rosary radio show that I just remember wafting through different places when I was a kid, and it was all local. So that Escanaba station really sort of, when we're working and hanging out up there, that station is just on. And, you know, the environment on the Stonington Peninsula is very remote. Even the insects don't go there, or at least the noisy ones
don't. The spiders go there.
The spiders go there, and the ticks go there. But the really noisy insects, like the ones here, they kind of stay away from there. So it's very quiet at night. Very strange.
And did you hear any? Does Acre sound different than other places in the Catskills, or what? Does Acre have a signature sound?
I think here we hear a lot of crickets, and there's some cicadas out there right now. I've pretty much explored this area more thoroughly than others, because when we remember, think about 10 years ago when there was a pilot residency program at the onset of the Wave Farms history. We did something where I wired the woods for sound. Remember, we were out at night hanging microphones in trees. Yeah. And it is essentially the same thing. You know, it is the same signatures and same elements. But generally, when I'm up in the Catskills, not making stuff, it's usually the winter time, and there's, you know, that's like its own, has its own characteristics, obviously absent of insect elements, like that. And that's a soundscape that's very quiet, but it is a soundscape nonetheless, like the deep woods in the winter time. Almost as quiet as one could get outside, but it's still a soundscape. It's a hard soundscape to capture electronically, though. And, you know, some things aren't necessarily meant to be captured, but you know, it's more about your consciousness listening.
Yeah, like that in the winter, there's the snow sucks up all the sound, and it's sort of like this sound vacuum kind of thing that I would imagine is very difficult to capture on a recording device. Because it's more about like your personal feeling of like you leave like your house where you're bombarded by electronic signals and sounds and all kind, and then you go out into this thing that's like sucking in the sound instead of expelling sound.
Yep, the snow obviously plays a factor in absorbing things, but sound waves also don't travel as much in cold weather, so it heat sort of conduct sound better.
It slows everything down, mm-hmm. the cold. That's basically, it slows water down into ice, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Molecules are slowed down, so
mm-hmm.
the molecules in transmission are slowed down as well.
And that's my slow down time of the year, actually, is when I'm in the woods, just sort of taking it easy and enjoying myself. Skiing's a good excuse to hang out in the woods during the winter time. Because there's nothing like
do,
that.
Right?
There's yeah. nothing like that. It's just so beautiful.
And if you just tuned in, you're listening to WGXC Feedback, and we're talking to Damian Katera and Patricia Kaczynski. Did I get it? I got it again?
Got it again. Mm-hmm.
And tell us again about the broadcast this week, when and where people can tune in, and then maybe tell us your websites and stuff, too.
Let's see. The broadcast is called Strategies Against Communications Night. It is a four-part piece. We're going to do it at midnight on Sunday, which is actually Monday morning. Tuesday, which is actually Wednesday morning. Am I getting this right?
I think you're getting
Monday,
this right.
which is actually Tuesday. Sunday, which is actually Monday. Monday, which is actually Tuesday. Wednesday, which is actually Thursday, and
Saturday morning.
At 11
Saturday morning, 11. So yes, right about a week from now is when we will be doing the fourth piece, the fourth part of the piece, and that'll be the one that we do in the morning, because that movement is about morning.
Dawn.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll...
Hashtag SAC night. Hashtag tweet dreams.
All right, you want people to tweet
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some live tweeting during our broadcast where we'll be asking people to tweet their dreams, to us.
And we're going
to
have the...
handle.
At WGXC yes. or at free103.9.org, or just free103.9, yes. Yeah, waveforms.
Because we're doing a whole movement on the exploration of dreams, like once you actually get to sleep, or even in the half... phase, like you can have some interesting dreams when you're not fully there yet. So we're asking people to share those, which has been a very interesting thing because we've asked people already to share some dreams.
It's getting kind of intimate.
It actually is. It is very intimate. It's very interesting.
You think you know people, and then they start telling you their dreams.
Tweet dreams, yeah.
So we're going to take those text submissions of dreams, and we're going to process them through one of the robotic voices in the Mac OS, which coincidentally cannot pronounce Trish's last name. When it gets to Trish's last name, it spells it out. It's the strangest
wow.
thing.
Yeah, that was pretty weird. I didn't really.
It can. It
just can't
will not.
It,
it just will not do it. So that'll be a texture.
I butcher names on this station every week, and I got it. I've done it twice perfectly on the air.
Very
so
weird.
I.
You're probably one
I'm
of the
better
only
than a computer.
People.
Really?
Ever.
It doesn't seem that
but
difficult.
But people just don't get cans.
But the Mac, you would think, would be able to do it. It's not like it's that.
That's right. I'm impressed that I'm smarter than a computer.
Yeah, how about that? Someday I'll be too, maybe. I don't know.
We will also be having a live Skype call-in segment,
yep.
but we're not sure when and the mechanics on that, so
yep.
more on that later.
Keep an eye on our
Stay tuned.
Facebook
yes.
event page
yeah, so
and
where should people
Twitter
look? Yeah.
And every and WGXC. We will be taking some Skype calls for people that are interested. Yes, there's an Eventbrite page.
Eventbrite. There's also a Facebook event page
yep.
for if you search for
SAC, Strategies Against Communication.
I'm looking
night.
For it now.
So when we're tweeting and twitting and all of that
oh,
during
is.
These broadcasts, share the proper Skype address for someone to call in on.
It looks like you search for Waveform Residency Broadcasts
mm-hmm. yep.
on Facebook. And then you'll see Strategies Against Communication.
Yep.
Night.
Yep, that's us.
And there's already 53 people going.
Woo!
11 haven't quite decided.
Yes.
Depends if they're awake.
See, this is one of those Facebook invites that you don't have to leave your house. You don't have to leave anything. You could just be there. That's what I like about it. So,
yeah. So like most people click on like, or like they're going, but then they don't actually show up. This way you can click on like you're going, and then nobody knows if you actually showed
exactly.
up or not.
Exactly. Exactly, and they could say that way they did. Or
you're not whatever. Embarrassed because you know they didn't see you there.
We know that we'll be playing for, you know, an audience of whoever's around here, like right now. Those are all the audience we'll be in touch with.
And only the NSA will know who is actually listening.
Oh, they already know. They know who's listening before they listen.
What?
I was saying that the other day. Do you think that, you know how people now show, this is the picture on Facebook of the thing I'm about to eat, right?
Yes.
That's the thing, you know, you show your plate and we're all sick of it. But I think the future is other people showing pictures of what other people are about to eat and saying, look what that person, can you believe that person is about to eat that? Can you believe that? They're about to eat that thing. They're going to do it.
Yeah, I you know, my dear friend Hassan Elahi was the one who started sharing all of his information on the internet when he became a terror suspect in the early 2000s.
Right.
I'm sure you're familiar
that,
with everyone, or people that are plugged into the media arts field are definitely familiar with Hassan Elahi's work, TrackingTransients.com, I believe, is his website. But, you know, he was one of the first people that 10 years ago, whenever I would sit down for a meal with him, he would take a picture of it. And I would just laugh and be like, wow, that's so stupid. But it's kind of funny. And now, everyone takes a picture of their meal. I'm like one of the few people that doesn't take a picture of my meals.
I might take a picture if I make something. Like I pickled something for the first time, and I was very compelled to put it on Facebook. I'm going to admit it.
But I like that. I like the dystopic vision that you're talking about, Tom, where people will see their meals, or other people will share their meals, you know, of the meals of other people.
Ahead of time.
Ahead of time, yes. That's when we know
the
that
surveillance data is everywhere.
They've really developed, you know, some really smart technology to keep an eye on people. And then who knows? Maybe at that point you get.